Todd Davis is a professor of English and Environmental Studies at Penn State Altoona, and he's a nature writer and poet.
I think people always think nature writing, nature poetry, is a place of solace, a place of celebration.
Davis's latest collection, Coffin Honey, is not that, though in it he writes about the beauty of the natural world in detail. We recently spoke about this new book, and I asked him how he would describe the poems.
This is a book of poems that are grieving. It's a book of sorrow. It's a lamentation. This is my seventh book of poems. All my books are based or rooted deeply in nature and wildness. And at the intersection between humans and that wildness, the reason this is a book of lamentation, and there were lamentations in the other books. There was sorrow and grief in the other books. You can't write about nature in the 20th and now into the 21st century without grief. But it's because of what has happened over the last 10 years. Climate change or climate collapse is more extreme. And the level of extinction, right, the extinction event, and our role in it is highlighted in ways that it's more obvious than it's ever been. And so when I came to write these poems, every time I sat down to write and engaged with beauty, I felt if I didn't have that sorrow or that desecration in the poem, that somehow I wasn't being honest about where I was in this moment.
One of the characters who appears every so often throughout the book, sort of lumbers through the book, is Ursus, a bear. Who is Ursus, and what are you trying to convey through his storyline?
For the last 20 years, I've lived here in Blair County, right along the Allegheny Front, between the villages of Tipton and Bellwood. And there are two game lands, Gamelands 108 and 158. They comprise 41,000 acres. And I encounter black bears very regularly here. In fact, halfway through the writing of this book, I had an encounter with the largest black bear I've ever had during the mating season in June. And I was in some thick laurel that was all in pink blossoms. And this black bear that definitely weighed over 600 pounds, might have been a little larger, came lumbering through, and we both stopped. And we were about 20 yards from each other and gazed at each other for about 30 seconds. And he then moved on, which I took as a blessing to keep writing these poems. But black bear have many characteristics that are similar to human characteristics.
Like what?
Literally the formation of their muscles, the set of their face, some of their mannerisms, the way they can stand on their hind legs. And so I thought, as our largest mammal here in PA, here in Blair County, what is it like to experience climate change for this bear? I had written quite a lot in my other books about native brook trout as a very important species indicator of ecosystem health. But I thought Ursus would be a good way to connect with the other story that's in this book, the human families that are in this book, especially a boy who is going through a trauma, and their stories end up interconnecting.
Ursus is sort of trying to live his life. And then can you just talk a little bit about that and then sort of where it ends up?
I am a hunter for sustainable, healthy meat and to help balance the ecosystem since we've taken out so many of the large predators, including wolves and mountain lions. And so I do hunt white-tailed deer. I am not a trophy hunter. But the reason I bring that up is very early in this book, Ursus's mother is killed. And Ursus has to learn to move on his own. And Ursus starts bumping into the human world that encroaches on him, including an early poem in which a drone flies over his head. And that drone flying over his head brings his mother back in memory to him as he destroys the drone. Sorry for all the drone lovers, but when they encroach into wild spaces, I think, what would a bear do with a drone buzzing around its head so bothersome? And then Ursus moves through the book and in history. There's a poem, for example, in which Ursus dreams the history of the way so many African Americans were brought to our continent enslaved. So Ursus engages with our worst history, our desecration of the natural world, our enslavement of other people, slavery as an institution within our country, and moves towards a more apocalyptic ending in the book. And that ending in the book is me maybe prophetically suggesting what might occur in 10 to 20 or 30 years. Black bears can live up to 40 years in the wild. It's not what I hope happens, but I project out to a place of quite a lot of devastation in the environment and to our culture.
You write about energy, too. The poem Until Darkness Comes is set in Somerset County, and you write about the wind turbines there, which now supply electricity to old steel towns. But you also write about fracking wells there. Quote, fires burn on the drilling platforms, and the prehistoric gas smells like the eggs that spoil in the hutch when the hens hide them. And you write about a boy, too, who takes pleasure in the little joys of the natural world there, like ants. What are you saying about the nature of energy extraction and the people who live in those places?
Throughout my many books, coal comes back again and again, because I have lived either in coal country, Rust Belt country, for large portions of my life, or in places that have used coal exclusively. We humans always leave a footprint. You know, mountaintop removal in West Virginia just horrifies me, because a mountaintop can't be put back. Deep tunnel mining, of course, led to acid mine drainage, but strip mining, it removed the topsoils and it changed the topography to some degree, but it changed soil composition entirely and what species could live there. Fracking has had its own devastations, including forest fragmentation, the gases that burn off and contribute to climate change. So it would be hypocritical, I think, of most of us, unless we live entirely off the grid, not to recognize we are part of the consumption and thus part of that extractive activity. But I write about it and try to honor the people who have no choices but to work in those industries. We are often born into economies that we have no control over and end up working jobs, maybe working on a mine, for example, without any true sense that there was something else I could move into.
And the little boy says, you know, he's not leaving this place. He wants to be where his grandfather, where that legacy lives.
And as you see at the end of that poem, right, that grandfather never thought that these fires could go out, that this industry could die away. And so on one hand, I may critique extractive industries. On the other hand, I want to honor that grief of people who have given their lives over to something, maybe generations of it, and what that means, and what it means to live in that place when that is gone. My books swing like a pendulum from more praiseworthy poems of nature and more positive relationships between humans and the other or more than human natural world. This is a dark book. I've been writing poems for about a year now, since this manuscript went into production, of more hope, more promise. And so, you know, I think of that boy at the end of that poem. What is his life like? What would be a hopeful possibility for that life of living in Somerset County? What can we bring there? And I think there are hopeful stories to be told.
Would you be willing to read the poem at the end of the collection, Sitting Shiva?
I will. Sitting Shiva. If you find the bones of a bear, sit down and stay with them. The dead desire our company. Touch each one, scapula, tibia, ulna, even the tiniest bones of the hind and forefeet, the curve of every claw. Just out of sight, a thrush will sing. Birdsong is a way to speak in secret. Find comfort in the arbutus that whitens each march on the old logging road. Wait until dark. A full moon will rise from the bear's skull, showing what she thought of us. Hold the moon skull in your lap. Stroke the cranial ridges. You may see your dead father scaling the talus to the blueberry field where this bear ate, mouth sated and purpled by the sweetest fruit. Your mother will be in the room on the second floor of the house, packing and then unpacking a box of your father's clothes. It's hard to give up this life, but we must. Others are waiting behind us. While it is a poem of lamentation, we need to move through grieving and honor grieving, but you'll notice the very last line of this poem is, others are waiting behind us. And I truly believe that there are ways that we can move through the moment we're in to places where we live in greater intimacy, in greater connection to the more than human natural world, and honor it in ways that will lead to much healthier living for ourselves.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Todd Davis's seventh book of poetry is Coffin Honey. He's a professor of English and environmental studies at Penn State Altoona. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.